This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. When it comes to art, the narrative of how a piece is created can add value and importance to the work itself. Take Jackson Pollock's seminal 1943 painting, Mural.
The painting is about 8 feet tall and 20 feet wide. It's the scale of a mural, which is why it's called Mural, the scale of a wall. Pollock described the painting as being like a Mustang stampede in the Wild West.
That's LA Times art critic Christopher Knight. He wrote about Mural, which wrapped up a nearly two-year restoration this month. The conservation project allows viewers to see the work as though it was painted just yesterday.
If you look closely, you can see suggestions of figures and perhaps suggestions of horses' heads. And it's painted in yellows and blacks and teals and browns and reds. And it's a very vigorous, thickly painted canvas.
How important is this painting in terms of art history or Jackson's contribution to art history?
This is a really pivotal painting in the development of the New York School after World War II. It's really the first painting that takes abstraction, which is essentially a European phenomenon, and puts it into a really American context.
Knight explains that a big part of the mystique surrounding Mural stems from its origin story, a myth propagated by Pollock's wife, the painter Lee Krasner, and art collector and dealer Peggy Guggenheim. It was also portrayed in the biopic Pollock, starring Ed Harris.
The thing that interests me is that today, painters do not have to go to a subject matter outside of themselves. They work from a different source. They work from within.
It is a myth that confirms our romantic notions of art and inspiration as powerful, fleeting, and vigorous.
Well, the standard story about the creation of the painting was that Peggy Guggenheim, the collector and art dealer in New York, had, in the summer of 1943, commissioned the mural for the entry hall of her apartment in Manhattan on East 61st Street, and that Pollock was excited about the prospect of doing the painting. So he stretched the canvas in his studio. He took down a wall in his apartment because he didn't have enough space. Took down a wall, stretched the canvas, and there the canvas sat for months and months and months because he was stuck. He was frozen. He was intimidated. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. And then at some point around Christmas, Peggy Guggenheim had it waiting for this painting and put her foot down. And on one night after sundown, Pollock picked up his brush, and over the course of the next 15 hours, in a frenzy of activity, painted the entire painting that we know today. That's the creation myth, and it is a myth. It didn't really happen that way.
Well, what did happen?
Well, the conservation team at the J. Paul Getty Museum and the Getty Conservation Institute have been spending almost the last 2 years working on the painting. And one of the things they did was analyze the paints that Pollock used. They've identified about 25 different paints. Many of them are high-quality oil paints. Some of them had been thinned. There is also white house paint, which is not something they expected to find. At any rate, all of these different paints have different drying times. So through spectrography and X-ray and so on, the conservators were able to discern that different layers of paint were not blended, were not merged, which meant that one layer had to dry before another layer was put on. So the painting could not have been made in one 15-hour sitting. It required several days, perhaps even several weeks, to execute the painting.
So what's behind this myth? Why create it? Or maybe we should just call it a lie.
Well, one thing that I should explain is that the myth seems to have been built on a foundation of partial truth. It seems that the overall composition of the picture may well have been done in one sitting, and then the painting was adjusted over the course of several days or several weeks. My speculation on this origin myth has to do with the time in which it was made. Remember, 1943 is deep into World War II. Mm-hmm. Jackson Pollock was 31 years old, and he was not in uniform, not serving in Europe or in the Pacific during the war. There was a great deal of gossip and speculation about his sexual identity, that perhaps he was a repressed homosexual. His girlfriend, Lee Krasner, later his wife, was well aware of all of this. And I think that this whole myth of a virile, heroic exertion of effort to create this breakthrough masterpiece served to bolster Pollock's reputation at the time, at the given time. And once that myth began to be repeated, it really took root.
As an art critic, Christopher, how do you process a revelation like this? Does it diminish the importance of mural in your eyes?
For me, it does just the opposite. Part of this myth has suggested that what artists do is, in creative bursts of sheer genius, spew forth masterpieces, which, of course, is not really how art actually gets made. What it suggests to me is that Pollock was, in fact, much more skillful. He knew what he was doing. He was developing his own aesthetic. He started the picture, he went back, he adjusted things, he modified things until he was satisfied with the result. Rather than undermining his reputation, to me it enhances his reputation as a serious painter.
Christopher Knight, LA Times art critic, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, my pleasure.
You'll find a link to read Christopher's article about the refurbished Pollock painting mural and the death of its heroic origins myth. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. There's more Word of Mouth coming right after the break. Please stay with us.